860-522-9842. Joining us now, State Senator Rob Sampson. Hello there, Rob.
How are you doing, Todd? Glad to join you.
We've been talking about vegetables. Do you have a favorite?
I've been listening, actually. And, you know, one thing that's very interesting about the conversation is you haven't really specified whether you're talking about vegetables that are prepared or not. Because I'll tell you, I mean, almost any vegetable can taste good if you prepare it correctly. Or just add bacon, for instance.
Well, yes, anything, you're right.
You add bacon.
Yeah, anything with bacon is the best thing on the planet, almost.
Exactly. My favorite's got to be asparagus, though.
Yeah, I'm a big asparagus guy, too. I was surprised more people didn't sing its praises.
It's good stuff.
It is.
It needs almost no preparation.
A little steam, is that what you do?
Right, a little steam or a fried, you name it.
And a vegetable you hate?
I would go with lima beans. I don't like peas either. I heard peas mentioned, and I just have very terrible recollections from my childhood about pasty peas on my plate that I was forced to eat.
Isn't it interesting how much impact that has, those early childhood food experiences?
My mom tricked me one time and gave me some split pea soup, which I really, really enjoyed, and then proceeded to remind me that I was eating peas.
Oh, she couldn't leave well enough alone, huh?
But it's more proof. Anything will taste good if you add something else to it.
Yes. Well, it's got to be the right something else. But, yeah, split pea soup can have some bacon in it, and that's nice. A little smokiness in there helps. All right, so let's talk a little politics. The you've taken the brunt of some mudslinging from the other side of the aisle. What's going on with that?
Well, I think you're seeing a lot of things happening. I think the Connecticut Democratic Party is nervous about the upcoming municipal elections. And I think they're taking a cue from national Democrats who have made a baseless claim and assault against the President of the United States. And they see that it has some traction. I don't know if it has as much traction as they'd like it to have. But they've learned that, you know, you can just accuse someone of something, and now that person is in a position where they have to defend themselves. So the Connecticut Democratic Party put out a statement on social media and on Twitter and places like that last week, claiming that myself and several other speakers that were at this Constitution Awareness Rally on the Southington Town Green on the 28th of September said things that we didn't say. They alluded to me somehow be advocating for slavery, and they did that based on a statement I made that the first 150 years of America was a period of great prosperity, which I actually went on to say in the same speech that it was because of economic opportunity and freedom and capitalism that, you know, created an environment where people could invent things, and we consequently had the Edisons and the Goodyears of the world, and they invented practically everything during that period of time, from the light bulb to the TV to the radio to the car and on and on. And it's just such an unbelievable stretch to say that somehow because I said that this is a period of prosperity that I'm advocating for slavery. And yet,
well, it's so commonly done in politics, and this kind of innuendo, like it could even be just that you're insensitive to the fact that it was really slavery that created the wealth of America, and therefore you shouldn't talk about anything else as being good during those periods of time when slavery existed, because if you do, you're just advocating for slavery or you're being some kind of bore.
Right. Well, it's a multi-part thing. I mean, first off, they want to discredit anyone that has an effective voice. I mentioned to you off air, we were texting earlier, that I think I'm the only elected Republican in Connecticut that's actually stood up for President Trump and defended him in this impeachment inquiry. And they don't want to see that. I think they would prefer that everyone kept quiet, and they'll use any means necessary to destroy anyone that disagrees with them. So you have that. Plus, they also want to discredit the history of this country. You know, what's so funny is that my speech was all about really the Declaration of Independence and the concept of all men are created equal. And I keep getting beat up on social media that I keep talking about white men, but these people never listened to my speech because I was talking about how the founders knew that slavery was immoral and it was corrupt, and there was no excuse for it. I also point out that it's a logical fallacy to say that because some of them were slave owners, it doesn't mean that anything else they did wasn't good. But the fact of the matter is that the founding principle of this country is that all men are created equal, and that's the premise that we are all equal in the eyes of the law and in our fellow man. And, you know, that's a principle I believe in very strongly. It's the reason why Abraham Lincoln went back and quoted the Declaration of Independence and said all men are created equal at the Gettysburg Address, because he was basically pointing out that America is finally fulfilling its core principle that was established in the Declaration.
It is just upsetting that, especially coming from Democrats who in their own minds, I think, look at themselves, they look in the mirror and they see reflected back at them the good people. They see themselves as moral, as the high road people. They often use that kind of language. And for them to be stooping to such dirty innuendo, guilt by association kinds of politics is too bad. Senator Rob Sampson is here. We'll talk more coming up. Talking to Senator Rob Sampson. Always a good thing to do, Rob. Nice to have you here. Thank you.
Glad to be here.
So let's talk a little tolls politics.
Sure.
There is the push for tolls is still alive, and it's in a new package. Talk to us a little about that.
Honestly, I don't know much about it. There's a lot of rumor about the potential for having some element of tolls, maybe tolling just bridges, things like that. I think they've got a long road before any of that happens. I think Republicans, both in the House and Senate, are completely 100% united and committed not to support any kind of tolls. Even the people in our party that I think might, in other circumstances, be willing to compromise realize that it's just a very, very bad issue. Setting the precedent of even having one toll opens the door for more or increased amounts, and We're going to stand against it. I want to take an issue with something you just said before the break, which is that the Democrats are looking in the mirror and they see themselves as the good people. If we're talking about elected Democrats, and in particular the former lieutenant governor of the state, Nancy Wyman, who is now the chairman of the Connecticut Democratic Party, I think she knows full well that the video that she made slandering other Republicans across the state and myself is completely false, completely wrong. I don't think she has any element of belief that it's accurate or true. And that's what's so disgraceful and disgusting about it, is that they are willing to use whatever methods they are effective, whether or not they're moral or accurate.
And why do you think that is? I just assume it's a rationalization that her identity and internal narrative is we're the good government people, and if this is what we have to do to make sure we save the state from these evil Republicans, then that makes it noble.
Yeah, I just don't buy that. I mean, I believe that there are certainly people who identify as Democrats all across our state who are good people, who believe the government has a role. I think they're naive. To think that the government is going to be the thing that saves people from evil corporate entities or unfairness in the world. And, you know, of course we need some government. So, I mean, I can understand why people understand that. But we're talking about people at the highest level of government who clearly know what they are up to. Mm-hmm. And their actions are calculated, and I don't think they're based on any morality whatsoever. I think they're calculated based on winning at all costs. And I also think that their motivations are not to make a better world. I'm certain there are some Democrats that are elected with that principle in mind. But these people, certainly Ned Lamont and company, they're not trying to make Connecticut a better place. They're trying to maintain power for the Democrats. And they will use whatever mechanism that is. And it's become their game plan over the last 30 years, which is to tax the hardworking citizens of this state to grow government and create people who are dependent on the Democrats staying in power, whether it's the state employees or people that are receiving entitlement benefits or nonprofit organizations that get checks from the government. Many of them are all good people, but when they end up dependent on the state, we have a problem, and that's what we're fighting an uphill battle against.
We're talking to Senator Rob Sampson. I think you have said something that's very powerful there, and that the state is coming to terms with, that the average voter is coming to terms with. And the hard part of all this is that people who aren't thinking about politics as part of their daily lives and only tangentially dip a toe into the waters, usually around election time, are operating on narratives that are no longer operative. They're no longer realistic. And that's the problem, that there's such a long learning curve to get to the point where you realize that things are as ugly as what you just described, Rob.
Right. And it doesn't make sense to the average person, as you said, who's not paying close attention, because, you know, their own representative, their own state senator that they've met, you know, at the Cub Scout meeting or around town or came to their door, is such a nice person. You know, the thing is that they can be as nice as they want at the door, but their goal is to get elected and be in power. And it's quite clear that the Democrats that have been running the state, certainly the leadership of the Democratic mm-hmm. Party, calls the shots, they're not interested in good public policy. They're not taxing groceries because it's good public policy. They don't want to put tolls on the road because it's good public policy. They want to do it because it's a mechanism that fulfills their business model, which is
yes.
tax people, grow government, make them dependent on the Democrats being in office.
Yes.
And they're going to continue to do it as long as they can. And it's sad that we keep fighting against this tremendous battle, because more and more people are in the boat of being dependent on the state. And the Democrats are smart, because they realize that the people that are leaving Connecticut right now are not those people. The people that are leaving are the hardworking people pulling the wagon and paying those taxes.
So what you're describing is the harm they're doing that drives people out of the state is actually helping Democrats win elections.
That is correct.
And that's pretty scary. And I think everything you said is true. And it is hard for the average voter to imagine that there are some who fully understand just how much they're hurting the state with these liberal policies, and still they pursue them because it is the Democrats' business model. It's also hard for people to understand that the system of being inside of a party leads one to vote for things that they might know are bad or might not really think about. They're just voting with their party so their party benefits.
Right. Well, that's certainly true in the case of the Democratic Party, because they have a very, very strong party structure in the state. And, you know, many, many elections, certainly the inner city Democrat elections, are determined by the party leadership, because ultimately they control who the endorsed candidates are. And those endorsed candidates are certainly going to win any kind of primary based on that endorsement. And they're likely to win the general election simply because they're in a Democrat inner city district. So that the party has tremendous power. The Republican Party, not so much. I mean, the party structure is very weak. We don't have a tremendous amount of organization. Local RTCs do the best they can to promote their local candidates. But anyone who's run for state office, representative or senator, will tell you that you're on your own. You're not going to count on
yes.
anyone else.
But also, part of it's that organizational thing. But the bigger part, I think, is what you said before about cities. Because Democrats control cities, and because they have such machinery there to decide who the nominee is, and the nominee is the person who wins the general election most of the time, that means it's a party decision who the mayor of the big cities is going to be. And that's a pretty appalling thing.
Right, and that person has to follow along, otherwise they'll get booted. And there are countless examples of that, all the way from big city mayors to state rep and state senate. You know, one other thing I would point out, I heard you a couple days ago talking to Bob Stefanowski about his campaign, and a lot of people calling in to advocate him working harder in the cities. And, of course, you know, that's a good idea. But just keep in mind that when someone's running a political campaign, they have a certain amount of resources, and they're limited. So you've got to pick and choose where
sure.
you spend those resources.
And time is one of those resources, too. So
right.
you want to go where you're going to get the most benefit, and that's a really good point. We've got to hold it right there. Rob Sampson, State Senator from Wolcott, thank you for being here. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Don.
All righty. Rob is working hard every day, and it's great to have him on the air here.